I'm grateful that what was lost has now been found. Appropriate in the church, right? Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was really little, my grandmother gave or sold, I really don't know the story perfectly, some land to my parents. It was right next door. In fact, it used to be the horse pasture where my mom had horses when she was growing up. And so the driveway that I grew up going up and down all the time passed by my grandmother's house. It was amazing and I loved it because grandma was always next door. It was the place where I could go and always find food that I liked, good conversation, and just know that I would be welcomed and accepted at grandma's house. Fast forward about 14 years later, and I came home from college one day, and my grandmother had died. Grandma wasn't in grandma's house anymore. It was still grandma's house, because that's where grandma lived, and that was the place where I could always go. But grandma wasn't there anymore. A year or so passed more, and my cousin bought the house. It was now Heather's house, but not to me, because it would always be grandma's house. You see, the adjective describing that house was never going to change and still hasn't for me, no matter what my cousin has done in that house or to that house that did not have air conditioning when she moved in. You see, grandma's house described that house and would always describe that house because it was the adjective assigned to that house. It was hers and would always be hers. And it still is hers, even though I don't go back to Michigan and drive past that house every day. Because that adjective will stay there because the memories and the experiences of what that place meant will always be there. And you see, church is kind of like that. Church is an adjective. I know that sounds strange to us because an adjective is something that describes a person, place, or thing. It is something that modifies a noun in grammar. And yet, church is an adjective. Because you see in the early Greek, in the ancient Greek, the word that would become known as church is kuriakos. And it is related to the word kurios, not curious in English, kurios, which is Lord. And so kuriakos is an adjective describing something as the Lord's. And kuriakos in Greek somehow made it through Latin into German, Kirche. Or Kirche, depending on which German you ask. And Kirche is where we get church. So the thing describing a place or a gathering became the noun. It became the church. Why? Because it's the Lord's. It's the Lord's gathering, the Lord's place, the Lord's people in that place. And that became church, as we understand that word in English. But when you're reading the Bible and you read the words, the church, the church, the church, especially as you read in the book of Acts, that word is different in Greek. It's not kuriakos. Kuriakos only appears a couple of times in the New Testament, and one of them is the very beginning of Revelation, where the author John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's that adjective. But the word you see in Greek is a noun. Whenever you read the church in the New Testament, it's the word ekklesia. Say it with me. You're going to hear it a lot today. Ekklesia. All right, you all know Greek now. Good job. It's still Greek to you, but that's okay. The ekklesia is what is written in the book of Matthew when that Anne read for us earlier. Peter confesses Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Holy One, the Anointed One of God. And Jesus turns to him and said, "And you are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my ecclesia." Now, ecclesia is different than kuriakos. Kuriakos is an adjective. Ecclesia is a noun. Now, I know you didn't want a grammar lesson today, but it's important that we differentiate between the two. Because one, the adjective, modifies the noun. The ecclesia en Christu. The ecclesia, the people who gather. Now, here's what's important about ecclesia. Ecclesia is an important part of Greco-Roman society. It maintained order in that society. It was a gathering of people called by someone of high authority and import and heralded so that everyone in the town who was affected by that would get together and do business. So I want you to think about this. Someone of high authority calls an ecclesia. The herald goes out and lets everybody know that someone has called the ecclesia to gather. And the ecclesia gathers with business to do, work to do, with a project in mind. And this is how it was throughout the entire Greco-Roman Empire, especially those who were mostly impacted by Greece. This is a congregation, an assembly, people gathered to do something with a purpose. The ecclesia. To maintain order, to deal with problems, to deal with questions of how they should function in society, of how they should live, of how they should relate to people, of whether or not they should trade with this or that person, or whether or not they should manufacture this thing. Whatever the purpose of that gathering was. And Jesus said to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my ecclesia." Now I need to pause here for a second and say that there's some differences between Catholics and Protestants in interpreting this particular verse from Matthew. You see, the Catholics look at this and they say, "Upon this rock, Peter," who in Greek Peter means rocky. "Upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church." And so the Catholics look at that and they say, "Upon Peter, I will build the church." And from that, they get papal primacy, where the Pope, now that's a tongue twister, the Pope holds the keys to heaven and hell. The Pope is the one who is most important because he is the inheritor of Peter, and he is the rock upon which the church is built. That's what our Catholic brothers and sisters believe. Now, Protestants take it a little differently. They say, "Upon this rock," and they say the rock isn't Peter. The rock is the confession that Peter made. What was that confession? That Jesus is the Messiah, the Holy One of God. And so we have this difference. But I don't think it's that big of a difference, and we'll get to it later. But I wanted to point it out now, because upon this, the ecclesia is built. Remember, the ecclesia is a group of people gathered to do business, called by someone in high authority. Who do we believe has the authority? God. God has called and gathered us together in this place, in this time, for a purpose. To be the people of God. To be the Lord's people. To do the Lord's work. To be the Lord's body, as Paul would interpret in some of his letters. That doesn't mean this building. It means this place, wherever we are, wherever we are gathered to talk about and to reflect on how we follow God, how we live as Jesus' disciples in this world. That's church. Which is great news for some of you. Because it means you can do church when you're out on the boat. Just take somebody else with you. Talk about God and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, and their church is. Right? It means that you can go on a trip And you don't have to get up and go to a building in a place that is called a church, because you can sit at a table over a cup of coffee and talk about God with the people in the building with you, and their church is. This is why Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered, I am in their midst. Because what the church is a gathering of people in Christ talking about what it means to follow Jesus, to be God's people. This is great news, except for the institution of the church. Because it means you don't have to come here and you don't have to put money in the offering plates. Sorry, finance committee and trustees. At its core, the church is people trying to figure out what it means to be the people of God, to be the Lord's people. Now, there's something I need to tell you about this, and this is a warning. I need to caffeine up before I give this warning. Some people think church, and they come and they have idolatry. They do not gather to worship God. They gather to worship something else. Sometimes we are tempted to worship the building. Sorry, trustees. Sometimes we are given into worshiping the thing which we associate with God rather than God, God's self. We care more about stained glass and pipe organs or beautiful pianos or comfortable pews or uncomfortable chairs or the color of the carpet or whether or not we sang our favorite song. And we completely forget that we have gathered to worship God. Sometimes we care about whether or not the pastor says something nice and gives me something to hold on to that keeps me warm and fuzzy for a few days before I forget it completely. And we say, I was fed today. And we forget to worship God. You see, the ecclesia in Christu, the community who gathers to worship God, gathers regardless of song choice, gathers regardless of whether or not we hear something that makes us feel good about ourselves, gathers regardless of whether or not we have air conditioning or heat or comfortable pews or beautiful stained glass windows or an amazing choir or a great musician. We gather because God has called us. And God has called us to think godly thoughts, to figure out what it means to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And that is the business of the ecclesia. To do the work of God in the world. And to figure it out as we go along. Because ain't none of us got it figured out yet. I mean, I may have a master's degree in divinity. I mean, seriously, can you get a more arrogant title? I am the master of the divine. It's like He-Man or something. We don't have it figured out. So we have to keep getting together to figure out what it means to follow Jesus. And sometimes we get caught up in worshiping the things rather than the God who has called us. We have the form of faithfulness without the power. And John gives us a beautiful picture in his Apocalypse, which we've titled Revelation. John gives us a beautiful picture of what it means to gather as the Ecclesia in Christu, the people of God. And this picture is the picture of a throne room. And there is a throne in the midst of all of this. And on the throne sits God the Father. On the throne sits a lamb that was slain, but but is alive. On the throne are the sevenfold Spirit. And all of this is to say that God is present, right? That's what that image is conveying to us. Now here's the kicker. The picture is amazing because it looks at this way. There are four beasts around this throne. God's presence is on the throne. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on the throne, surrounded by these beasts, these creatures. And the creatures are the created order. This is the image John is showing to us. The created order. God is in the created order. God is present with us in creation. That's what the picture is. And in the midst of creation and in the midst of God's throne, God is present with 24 elders. Now there's significance in that because you see, the priestly orders, there were 24 of them in the tribe of Levi. And they would minister before God in the temple, in the people of Israel, all day, all night, 24, all the time, shifting through in cycles. So what this picture is of the 24 elders is it's the priesthood of God's people. Now before you say, oh good, I'm out, pastor's in. All of us are the priests. All of us, these 24 elders represent and are a picture of all of the people of God gathered around the throne of God in the midst of creation where we are. And they're doing something continuously. They're taking off their crowns and laying them before the throne. They're holding a harp and they're holding incense. These three things are very important because they are at the very nature of what it means to be the community, the ecclesia en Christu, the people of God, the gathering. It is to take the authority we have ourselves and lay it before God and say, you know what, I think I know what's best for me, but I know that God does. And so I'm choosing to do things God's way. I may not get it right, I may not always understand it, and sometimes I pick that crown up and put it right back on my head because I'd rather do it my way. But every day, every minute, I lay that authority that I've been given back at God's feet so that I can live in worship and humble adoration of the one who created me. And I hold a harp, and the harp is a symbol for the praises of the people, and the incense is a symbol for the prayers of the people. And as I lay my authority down, I am also holding onto the praises and the prayers of God's people. In the community, we gather together to praise God, to lift up one another in prayer, and to practice humility. Practice what it means to surrender my will for God's will. My way of doing things for God's way of doing things. This is the picture John gives us in the book of Revelation. A picture of what it means to be the church, the people of God, the Lord's people. People who humble themselves in recognition that God is God and I am not. Who hold on to and offer to God prayers and praise continuously. And who are forgiven and cleansed because of their place in relationship with God, because of Jesus. This is a beautiful picture from Revelation. And I promised I would get back to Peter, though. I promised I would get back to this rock. Because you see, the community that is pictured by John is made real in us by God's Spirit and God's blessing. And Peter, I love this. I love Peter. I really do. Because Peter is so human, right? I mean, if you read the Bible, which I'll admit most of you probably don't, which may be convicting and may not be generous to you all, but I'll be honest. When I wasn't a pastor, I didn't read the Bible very well either. But when you read the Bible, especially when you read the Gospels, you read about Peter. Peter is one who gets it and then instantly doesn't get it. One second he's saying, you're the Messiah, you're Jesus, you're the Son of God. And he's saying, nope, you don't know what you're doing, you can't go to Jerusalem. leader. We get it in 1 second, and then by our actions or our thoughts or our words or our deeds, we don't get it. And this is why I'd be okay saying, yeah, sure, the whole church is built on Peter because it's built on people like Peter. The whole church is built on sand because all of us are sand. When the going gets tough, we say goodbye. When it gets hard to follow Jesus, we say sayonara. Not all the time. But we get it right about as often as we get it wrong. Just like Peter. And if the whole church is built on Peter, then sure. I can accept that. Because I'm like Peter. I step out of the boat and then I instantly start to sink. I confess Jesus with my mouth and then tell him he doesn't know what he's doing, even though he's the Son of God. I say, Jesus, I'll never leave you or abandon you, and then by the time the rooster crows in the morning and the sun has come up, I've already denied him 3 times. I'm just like Peter, and so are the rest of us. And the church is built on broken people, just like Peter. So sure, Catholics, that rock is what the whole church is built on. But it's not just that, because we, as Methodists, we are both and people. I think it is both built on Peter, who is broken and messed up, and so am I, and I need God just as much as Peter does. I think it's also on Peter's confession. Because to say that Jesus is the Son of God, to say that Jesus is the Holy One anointed of God, who knows what he's talking about and knows what he's doing, means that I don't. That Jesus' way of doing things is better than my way of doing things. And I need the church to remind me of that. That confession. That God is God and I am not. To lay my crown down so that I can follow God. You see, the church is built on both of these things. Broken people and the confession that we recognize our brokenness and need God. We are truly the Lord's people. The adjective describes who we are. But the ecclesia is what we are. That's the noun. The noun that tells us that we are a people called by God. And there are heralds going all around telling people, come and be a part of what God is doing. Come and be a part. Be in a place. Be a part of a community where you will be loved. Where you will be accepted. Where grandma always has dessert for you to eat. Trust me, it's down there after worship. This is what it means to be the Lord's people. To accept that we don't understand what's going on. That we don't always get it. And sometimes we are in outright rebellion to what God is calling us to do. But we keep trying. We keep encouraging one another. We keep reminding each other that God loves you. Even when our actions demonstrate that we don't love God. The church is where the Lord's people gather. And where two or more are gathered in God's name, there is the church. Amen. Would you please stand and join us in this affirmation?